Oh, Lord, truly you are great and greatly to be praised. Lord, that's why we're here today, to simply worship and praise you, to proclaim your goodness and your greatness, not only through the songs we sing, through the fellowship we have, but now, Lord, through the word we study. So, Lord, reveal your greatness to us through your word, that we may continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. And in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask, and all the saints say, amen. 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 Please be seated. Well, let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, you recall that we have divided the book of Hebrews into two very simple sections. The first section deals with the superiority of Christ. That's chapter 1 through chapter 10, verse 18. The second section deals with the superiority of faith. That's chapter 10, verse 18 through chapter 13. The first section deals with doctrine. The second section deals with duty. The first section deals with principles. The second section deals with the practical. And since Jesus is better than everything, since he's better than the prophets, better than the angels, better than Moses, he's a better covenant, he has better promises, he's a better tabernacle. After laying down these glorious truths in the first section, we had mentioned that they should affect our lives in a very personal and very practical way. In other words, once we realize that Jesus is not only over everything, but Jesus is better than everything, our lives should reflect it. There should be some very practical, very applicable attributes in our lives proclaiming these very truths. And we saw that that began in chapter 10, beginning in verse 19. The author of Hebrews told us to let us draw near. Then he said to let us hold fast. Then he said, let us consider one another. And then as we moved into chapter 11, the thought was to let us have faith. That's what chapter 11 was all about. It's the Faith Hall of Fame. And we saw many wonderful examples of the Old Testament saints who not only lived by faith, but who also died by faith. Now, we begin chapter 12. As the author encourages us to let us have hope. Now, originally, as I had outlined the text for our message this morning, we were going to cover the first 17 verses. Chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. And then as I began to outline the text, I decided we should drop back to verse 11 rather than going to 17. Well, as I further began to outline the text, I thought it would be good if we stopped at verse 4. So today we'll pick up our study in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and we'll read down through verse 4 today. Hebrews 12, 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. I think the whole point of this section is very simple. Since we do have faith in Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have hope that Jesus Christ will enable us to endure. To endure. This section's all about endurance. In verse 1, the author talks about enduring the race. In verse 2, he talks about enduring the cross. In verse 3, he talks about enduring hostilities. Next time we're together, when we get down to verse 7, he talks about enduring chastisement. And we're going to be looking at three things in these next 2 weeks as it pertains to endurance. And let's face it, if there's one thing we need in our lives today, it's endurance. Because the world, I don't know if you realize this or not, is upside down. The world's saying what is right is wrong and what is wrong is right. And we as believers need to endure through this life we call Christianity. Now, this word endure or endurance, it's an interesting word. It's hupomino. It's only used 18 times in the New Testament. It's a compound word. Hupo means under. Mino means to remain or to abide. And so this word endurance means to remain under, to abide beneath all of the trials, all of the tribulation, all of the hardship, all of the pain and suffering and sorrow that we go through in the life we live here on this earth. And I think that's realized in the Old Testament saints back in chapter 11. Look at verse 35. Chapter 11, verse 35. In the middle of the verse we read, "And others," remember that speaks of another of a different kind, "they were tortured, not accepting deliverance." In other words, they remained under the torture. They didn't waver or stray from all of the things they were going through that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trials of mockings, scourgings, chains, imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were slain by the sword. They were in sheepskins, goatskins. Listen, they had a tough go. And yet, we see that all of these Old Testament saints in chapter 11 endured. They remained under all of the hardship and all of the trial that they were going through. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews encourages us to do, to endure. And we're going to see in the next couple of weeks three things. He encourages us, first of all, to endure the race we're in. That's verses 1 through 4. We'll be looking at that today. Second, he encourages us to endure the chastisement we receive. That's verses 5 through 11. And then third, he encourages us to endure by the grace we have. That's verses 12 through 17. Lord willing, we'll look at these next two sections next time we're together. But today, let's take a look at the encouragement to endure the race we're in. That's really the topic here. Look at the end of verse 2. The writer says, "Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." Yes, you and I are in a race. There's no question about it. And we're to have endurance during the race that we're in. Now, this whole idea of an athletic race is a very popular metaphor in Scripture. As you'll recall, we had mentioned that most scholars believe Paul the Apostle wrote the book of Hebrews. This is one Scripture that points to that proof. After all, Paul talked quite a bit about athletic events in his epistles. He talked about running the race. In fact, back in Acts chapter 20, in verse 24, as he was addressing the Ephesian elders there in Miletus, he said that none of these things move me. And I do not count my life dear, and I will finish the race. None of these things move me. None of the trials, none of the tribulation, none of the things we just read about in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 35 through 38. All of the trials, all of the mockings, all of the scourgings, all of the stonings, all of the things that come upon us as we run this race called Christianity in this life in which we live, none of them move us and none of them shake us. Paul said he was going to finish the race. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul said, "Those in a race all run." And if you are a Christian, if you are born again, you're in a race. And therefore, you run. There's no question about it. Now, this is not the rat race we're talking about, by the way. That's a different race. You and I are in a race spiritually. Paul understood that. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, he said he fought the good fight. He finished the race, he kept the faith. So clearly, all of us are in a race. And you might say, "Well, Clark, what are we racing for?" Well, you and I are running this race for the same thing every runner runs a race for, the prize. Paul mentions that in Philippians chapter 3, verse 14. He said he's pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus our Lord. Yes, we are in a race, and we're all running toward the prize, which is the finish line. We'll talk more on that in a moment. Well, back to Hebrews chapter 12. The writer talks about four things about this race that he mentions to us. Let's note them together. Number one, the first thing he talks about are the witnesses regarding our race. That's in verse 1. The witnesses regarding our race. The writer says, therefore, Hebrews 12:1, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now this cloud of witnesses no doubt refers to the previous section in chapter 11, speaking of these Old Testament saints who lived by faith and who died by faith. And it's an interesting picture when you think about it, because a witness could carry the idea of an onlooker, someone who is witnessing something. And of course, it's easy to get the imagery of these witnesses, these onlookers, these spectators filling a giant stadium. And as they're looking down or witnessing the runners on the track down below, and here are these Old Testament saints, if you will, looking down on the racetrack, and all of us, the runners down here on earth, and they're up in heaven cheering us on, saying, all right, run the race, finish the course. Now that makes for a beautiful little illustration, but I don't think that's right at all. You see, the word witness that's used here is the Greek word martus. We get our English word martyr. Wow, now that throws a different light on it, doesn't it? Here is this great cloud of martyrs. Well, what's the point? The point is simple. These Old Testament saints ran the race. They finished the course. The word therefore in verse 1 ties it to that previous section. And they finished the race by faith. They are a witness, listen carefully, family, they are a witness of God's faithfulness in giving them endurance to run the race they were in. And if they are a witness to God's faithfulness regarding the race they ran, now they become an example for the race that we are running. And the point is simple. If God was faithful to enable them to endure the race they ran, they now become witnesses of God's faithfulness regarding the race we're in. And God is faithful. Pastor Dan sang a song this morning about the faithfulness of God. One thing I think we fail to understand about God's faithfulness is in 2 Timothy 2:13. Paul said that he is faithful when we are faithless. God's faithfulness isn't dependent upon my faithfulness. He's faithful in spite of me, not because of me. And here we see this great cloud of witnesses, these groups of martyrs who are a witness to God's faithfulness and a testimony to His goodness that they, in fact, finished the course. Are you sure? Absolutely. Look back at verse 39 of Hebrews chapter 11. It says, and all these great clouds of witnesses, having past tense, obtained a good testimony or divine approval through faith. What a glorious example we have. And what a great encouragement to see this great cloud of witnesses testifying of God's faithfulness and God's goodness. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's come to the second thing the writer talks about. He not only talks about the witnesses regarding our race, but second, he talks about the things that hinder our race. That's in verse 1 as well, the things that hinder our race. And let's face it, there are many things that hinder us from running the race that we're in. The writer of the Hebrew mentions two of them. Number one, it involves weight. In the middle of verse 1, Hebrews 12, he says, let us lay aside, cast off, shed every weight. Now this, of course, seems very obvious in the context of this athletic event, the race that people are running in. I mean, how silly, how ridiculous would it be to come up to the starting line of a race and be wearing a huge sweatsuit, army boots, holding weights in your hand. I mean, ridiculous, ludicrous. Nobody would run a race with extra weight on. The whole point of running a race is trying to get as light as possible, wearing the lightest clothing possible, the lightest shoes possible. And thus, the writer's painting a very beautiful picture of things that can weigh us down, things that can burden us in this race we're running. Now, it's an interesting word, weight, by the way. It's only used here and nowhere else in the entire New Testament. It can be literally translated prominent. In other words, this weight is something that is prominent in our lives. Whatever is prominent, whatever we're putting first and foremost in our lives, could be hindering us from running the Christian race, if you will. I mean, for some, it might be worldly possessions. Maybe that's what their focus is on. Maybe that's what's preeminent in their life, predominant regarding their life. Maybe their focus is on the treasures of the world. Or maybe it's relationships. Maybe that's what's the first priority in one's life that is weighting them down and keeping them from running the race. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's greed. Hey, there's a lot of things that can weigh us down. But I have to believe, if we keep in the context of Hebrews chapter 12, as it directly relates to Hebrews chapter 11, because of the word therefore in verse 1 of Hebrews 12, it deals with faith. What keeps us from running the race? A lack of faith. When we lack faith in Jesus Christ, when we lack faith in His ability to enable us to endure the race we're in, now all of a sudden, we begin to stumble, we begin to fall. Because that which is predominant in our life is no longer Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, the finish line of our faith. But it's the things of the world. It's relationships. It's jobs. It's careers. It's this. It's that. It's the other. That all of a sudden is the first and foremost thing in our life. And that ultimately is when we get our eyes onto our circumstances and off of Jesus Christ. And in effect, what we're saying is, I lack faith. I lack faith that God is going to work out my situation and work out my circumstances, and therefore I begin to look at it. And it becomes preeminent in my life, predominant regarding my life. So the first thing that the writer talks about that hinders us in our race is weight. Number two, the second thing he talks about is sin. In the end of verse 12, he says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us, grabs us, trips us up. Now note carefully there, it says, the sin which so easily ensnares us. Well, in the Greek text, the word the definite article, is not there. He is not talking about the sin, the rejection of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He's talking about sin in general, talking about any and every sin. In other words, not only having something prominent in our life weighing us down and keeping us from running the race, but now we see sin has the same effect. When we are actively, continually, willfully, premeditatively living a life in sin, man, it's going to hinder us in our race. Why? Well, because it breaks fellowship with God. Read Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. God said the arm, Isaiah through to the Lord said, the arm of the Lord is not short that He cannot reach down and save, nor is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But it is our sin that separates us from Him. Now please, don't misunderstand me, precious family. This does not mean that we're perfect. Just ask your spouse, they'll tell you. It doesn't mean we're perfect. It simply means that we don't live in a continual, habitual, willful lifestyle of sin. Because when we are living in that mode, now all of a sudden we're being tripped up. We're being ensnared regarding the race that we're in. And now we're being hindered. There's a hindrance, and it's sin, to be sure. Well, let's come to the third thing we want to look at. The writer talks about four. We've looked at the witnesses regarding our race, how they're a wonderful example of those who did finish. We've looked at the things that hinder our race, speaking of weight and sin. But number three, this is subtle, don't miss it. The third thing the author talks about is the course of our race. The course of our race. Take a look at the end of verse 1. It says, "And let us run with endurance," we've already looked at that, "the race that is set before us." You know, I don't know how many times I've read over that and read through that and never thought about that. But in our study today, I can't tell you how that ministered to me. The race that you and I are on, now get the picture. The race that you and I are entered into was established, determined, predetermined by God Himself. Read your Bibles carefully. It says, it talks about the race that is set before us. In other words, the race that we're in is the race we're supposed to be in because God determined it. You might think, oh man, I'm not supposed to be in this race. I mean, this is too heavy. I should be in the 100 meter, not cross country. You follow me? I should be doing the hurdles, not long. We think that somehow we're in the wrong race. I mean, look at my life. Lord, look at the race I'm in. Look at all the trials and tribulation I'm dealing with. Look at the financial problems I'm having. Look at the relationships I'm struggling with. Look at the spiritual warfare I'm dealing with. Lord, this race isn't right. It's too much. It's too hard. Oh, no, it's not. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, that God won't give us more than we're able to handle. Now, you think your race might be too much, too hard, too long, but it's not. And oftentimes we feel like throwing in the towel, hanging it up, dropping out of the race, saying, you know what, forget it. It's just too tough being a Christian. Wait a minute. The Bible says that the course I'm on is set for me by God. Therefore, the race I am in is the exact perfect race for me because God has set the course. And when we begin to understand that, when we begin to live our lives in light of that, now all of a sudden, it's not a race, it's a walk in the park. You follow me? We're saying, Lord, thank you for this race I'm in. And Lord, I know that by your grace, by the power of your Spirit, you're going to enable me to endure it because I know the course that I'm on was set by you. And I'll tell you, there's real rest. There's real peace in that. There's a tranquility in understanding that God's got us right where He wants us to be. And He'll enable us to endure through it. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's come to the fourth and final thing the author talks about regarding this whole idea to endure the race we're in. He talked about the witnesses regarding our race, the things that hinder our race, and the course of our race. And number four and finally, let's take a look at the example for our race. The example for our race. You say, wait a minute, Clark. I thought the example for the race we're running is this great cloud of witnesses. Oh, yes, they're a great witness to God's faithfulness. They're a great example, as we've already seen in Hebrews chapter 11. But I'm here to tell you today there's a better example. There's the perfect example of one who endured the race, the one who finished the course. And that's Jesus Christ Himself. Look at verse 2. It says, looking unto Jesus. Drop down to verse 3. It says, for consider Him. What better example could we have than Jesus Christ? How important it is we look to Jesus, that we keep our eyes on Jesus. Why? Why is He the perfect example? Why should we stay focused on Him? I think quite simply, because He has finished the race. Take a look, if you would, at the end of verse 2. It says, speaking of Jesus Christ, who has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. The reason we keep our eyes on Jesus Christ, the reason we look to Him as the perfect example, is because He has finished the race. He's done running, if you will. The Bible says He is sitting down at the throne room of God itself. That's why we're to look to Him, run towards Him. Keep our eyes on Him. In other words, don't get distracted apart from Him. Look, it's easy to get distracted in this world. I understand that. But when you're running a race, you're not looking at other things. You're not looking at other people. You're not looking at circumstances or situations. Man, you're fixed on the prize, the finish line, which is pictured here in Jesus Christ. That's why we're to look to Him. That's why we're to consider Him, so we don't get distracted and trip and fall in this life we're living. I think about poor Peter in Matthew chapter 14. You remember when Peter and the disciples were in the boat. In the middle of the Sea of Galilee, the wind was blowing, the waves were crashing, their little boat was filling, and Jesus was walking. He came walking to them on the water, and I love it. Peter said, "Lord, if that be You, commandeth me to come." And Jesus says, "Come." And Peter steps out of the boat, begins to walk on the water, the Bible says. This is Peter, walking on water. Amazing. But the Bible says in Matthew 14:30, he saw the wind and the waves and began to sink. Got his eyes off Jesus. Got his eyes off the author and finisher of his faith. Got the eyes off of the finish line. And he began to sink. And so too it will be with us. Man, if we're looking to anything or anybody to help us regarding the race we're in, we will be sorely disappointed. And we will not finish the race. Look to Jesus. Well, the question is why? Why is Jesus a better example? What makes Him the perfect example for you and I to follow? May I give you four things? Four things that are involved in establishing what makes Jesus a better example. Number one, faith. Faith. Take a look at verse 2 again. It says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." What enables us to run the race with endurance? It's faith. It's the whole context of chapter 11, spilling into the first four verses of chapter 4. It's faith. The author hasn't changed his idea, his concept here. But understand carefully, it's not our great faith, it's the object of our faith, Jesus Christ. He's not only the object of our faith, but He's the author and finisher. He's the originator and the perfecter of our faith. Our faith starts with Jesus, and our faith is finished by Jesus. He's the author, the originator, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. What do we need to run the race that we're in and endure while we're doing it? It's faith. We all have faith. There's no doubt about that. Hebrews 12:3 is very clear. The Bible says God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. The question is, where are we putting it? Where are we putting our faith? If we are putting our faith in ourselves, in our own resources, in our own strengths, in our own efforts to endure this race we are in, we will never finish. We will always be ensnared. We will trip. We will fall. And we will not complete the course. But if Jesus Christ is the object of our faith, realizing He's the orchestrator and perfecter of our faith, now all of a sudden we run by faith. And now we can endure the race we're in. All of the hardships, all of the ups, all of the downs. To put it in the athletic vernacular, all of the hills and ups and downs we encounter in life. Because of our faith in Jesus Christ. Number two. Not only involves faith, but joy. Take a look at verse 2 again. In the middle of the verse, speaking of Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Question. What is the joy that is set before Jesus Christ? What was the joy that was set before Him? Well, I've heard a lot of commentators A lot of Bible preachers talk about this joy that was set before Jesus Christ, but I think in the context, the joy that was set before Jesus Christ was the conquering of death. It was the forgiveness of sin. Why? Because he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He didn't think about the shame. He thought nothing regarding the shame. He despised it. It was nothing to him. Hey, hanging on the cross was a shameful thing, and it didn't bother Jesus at all. To take the shame of the cross, he endured the cross. Why? So that he could have joy in telling you and in telling me, your sins are forgiven. The Bible says in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, that he was delivered up for our iniquities. Why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? It was for the forgiveness of sin. The joy that was set before him is so that he can say, your sins are forgiven. What a joyful thing that was for Messiah. That's why he endured the cross. That's why he endured the suffering and the pain, the humiliation, the shame of the cross. He despised it. It didn't bother him at all. Because there was a joy in his heart, looking forward to be able to say, your sins are forgiven. Number three, there's a reward. It also involves reward. Look at the end of verse 2. It says, and, speaking of Jesus Christ, who finished the race, has sat down at the right hand, here it is, of the throne of God. What a reward. The throne of God. Jesus Christ, a perfect example for you and for me. Why? Because of the reward that's involved. Jesus Christ ran the race. He endured. He finished. He sat down and he received the reward. The reward was the throne of God itself. And when we endure the race we're in by faith, you and I will finish the race and we too will receive a reward. There's going to be a prize at the end. What is it, you may say? The reward that we receive, are you ready for this? Is the exact same reward Jesus received. Are you sure? Oh, yes. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, the Bible says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. Friends, there's a glorious reward waiting for us. It's the same reward that Jesus received. And all of us, when we finish the race by faith, when we endure the race we're in through faith, Jesus Christ being the object of our faith, the originator and perfecter of our faith, it's all about faith in him, we too will sit down. And we'll receive the throne of Jesus Christ. Back to Hebrews chapter 12. Let's come to the fourth and final thing real quickly. And that is endurance itself. Endurance. Look at verse 3. For consider him. Look to Jesus. Consider Jesus who endured. He endured such hostility from sinners against himself. What a perfect example Jesus set for us. Why? Because he endured all of the hostility, all of the mockings, all of the scourgings, all of the beatings, all of the trials, even enduring the cross from the hands of sinners. And the reason for that is to encourage us. To encourage us. Look at the end of verse 3. Why did Jesus endure all this hostility? Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. For you have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. Look, none of us in striving against sin have ever encountered bloodshed. You follow me? As you resisted sin and live your life for Jesus Christ and run this race with endurance, I venture to say none of us here have been beaten to the point of bloodshed for our faith in Jesus Christ. Where Jesus Christ, on the other hand, is a perfect example of one who endured the hostility of sinners, even to the point of bloodshed. What a glorious example he is for us. And the next time you're running this race and you're thinking it's too hard, it's too tough, It's too whatever. Look to Jesus. Consider Jesus. That's what verse 3 says. Consider Him who endured the hostility, and realize what you are going through, what I am going through, is really nothing. It's nothing compared to what Jesus went through. I got to be honest with you. I rather enjoy meeting with some of you and talking with you and praying with you and listening to all the major problems you're going through, because it sure makes me feel a lot better about myself. You follow me? And I want to encourage all of us here today. Man, if you want to get ministered to, minister to someone else. If you want to realize how small and insignificant your problems are, hey, minister to someone who's really got some serious stuff going on in their lives. And you're going to realize that you don't have it so bad. There's always someone a little worse. If you don't think so, just come down here to the church and hang out with us for a week or two. You'll find out. Hey, listen, we all go through tough times. I'm not trying to minimize what we're going through. Please don't misunderstand me. The point that the author is making is simple but incredibly impactful. Man, consider Jesus. When you think the race you're running is too hard, too tough, consider Jesus. He endured through it. He finished the race. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Look to Jesus, because He's the author. He's the originator. He's the finisher. He's the perfecter of our faith. And that is what we need to run the race with endurance. Faith. Faith in Jesus Christ and His ability to get us to the finish line. Father, how thankful we are. Lord, for these few short moments together, that we can turn our hearts towards You, towards Your Word. And Lord, what a joy, what a blessing it is to be able to look to You as the ultimate example. Look to You as our strength to endure this race we are in. Because Lord, today we confess that apart from You, we can do nothing. But Lord, with You, we can do all things. Through You, we are more than conquerors. And Lord, because of Your great grace, because of Your Spirit that You have given to us to indwell us, Lord, we can endure the race we're in. We realize, Lord, it's not by might nor by power, but by Your Spirit, says the Lord. So, Lord, pour out Your Holy Spirit upon us as we put our faith in You and the work that You can accomplish in and through us as we run the race, as we finish the course, as we keep the faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand together? If you're here today and if you need prayer for anything, be sure to come forward. Pastors will be up front to pray for you, to minister to you, just to love you. Maybe you've been running the race and you're a little tired. Maybe there's been some obstacles on your course and you just need some prayer. Man, come forward. Be prayed with. Be prayed for. And how I pray that God would bless you as you go forth from here today, running by faith, enduring the race that God has set before you as you put your faith in Him, setting aside anything that is weighing you down. Anything that you might be putting first in your life. Anything that is prominent. Man, look to Jesus. Consider Jesus. Don't get your eyes off of Jesus. And that this week would be a week like none other. Victorious. Strengthening. Finishing. Conquering. I sure love you guys. God bless you. Have a great week in the Lord.